you glad that we have Don and Donna to play for us like that? Thank you. Well, how's everybody today? How am I? We'll see at the end. It's great to have each of you here today. I'm just going to make some announcements to begin. First of all, you all know what's going on this week, right?
Yes.
What is going on?
Everybody knows what's going on. We don't care about you.
Thank you.
We know that everybody else knows what's going on. Right? Not you? You don't know what's going on this week? Monday, what happens Monday?
Prayer
time. What time is that prayer time? There you go. That's being our brother and sister here. Well, I'm going to be like the expectant mother. I'll be overdue.
I don't know what that means.
You're not a mother?
Never been.
Okay. And of course, we have then the other prayer time, which is Saturday evening, which Jim and Grace on Saturday night,
7 o'clock.
Okay. Thursday night will be our discussion night. If it were a Bible study, we would study that, but when it's a discussion night, we discuss the Bible. There you are. Okay. Okay. Time of the Bible study on Thursday evening is 7 o'clock. We changed from 7:30 to 7 during the pandemic, and I think we're going to hold that from now on at 7 o'clock. Thank you, Norm. I'm glad that we all get your approval. We have some birthdays. Doug. Older at Tojo's is going to be, he's going to have a birthday on the 14th. Wow. And Naomi. And Bradley L. on the 15th. Anniversaries.
None this week.
None this week. We want to wish none a happy anniversary. Let's just take a moment to give praise to God by sharing any praises you might have, and then we'll have the prayer requests right after that. How's that? Can we do that today? Who has a word of praise for God? Any other notes of praise? How about prayer requests? Any other prayer requests? One, two. Oh, yes. And I'm going to ask Phil to come up, please. He has something to read from the Fuhr family.
John did the funeral on Friday for Bernice. And this is what the family sent to him. Dear Pastor John, on behalf of the Fuhr family, I would like to thank you for your part in Mom's service this past Friday. I know she would have been pleased that you were included in the service. Although she could no longer attend WCC, her heart was always here. She misses the family here, and I just lost it. There we are. She misses the family here, but cherishes the many memories that were made over the past 20-plus years. Thank you also for the beautiful flower arrangement at the funeral. Mom loved lilies, so it was the perfect choice. And thank you to the church family for the friendship and the care you continue to show Mom, even after she had left the church. And for your love and support, prayers, and words of encouragement extended to us during this time. We rejoice and find peace in knowing that Mom is with her Lord and Savior, and reunited with Dad. Love, Janice, Diane, and Blake.
Thank you, Lord. Thanks, Phil. All of you who know Bernice and Doug, they were initially beginners, the people who founded this church along with Jim and Grace. Let's go to prayer, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so glad that we can come to you and lift up all of these things that are praiseworthy to you. You take all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing here. And Father, then we think of these prayer requests that have come. And Father, I'm going to put my hand right on this sheet of paper, knowing that you know everyone that has spoken about something that needs prayer. And Father, I believe that you know, and that you will take care, that you will give understanding. And I pray for your grace and your mercy to flow to these ones who need your help. Father, we can't do it on our own. We come to you because it is you and you alone who take care of us. You have our lives in your hands. Thank you, Father. We think of all the trouble that's going on around the world, and we just say, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord. Thank you for these who have had going to have birthdays this week. And Father, we thank you for Pastor John and Jane today. Bless them wherever they may be. May they be lifting up Jesus in the place where they are. And Father, we're going to give you all the praise and honor and glory. And I want to say one more thing. Father, we lift up our sister, Suzanne Staples, to you. Father, she's got to go through more surgery. And I pray your hand be on with the surgeons. You would direct them, guide them, and bring her back to us swiftly. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in the lives of this church, this family, this body. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For we ask it in that precious name that is above all names. Jesus, you're the one. We thank you. Amen and amen. Come, team.
And we thank you for being here. Even if we're not many, you say we're two or three gathered, you will be in their midst. And Father, we just thank you for being here, and we just thank you for Pastor Carl, who is now sharing a message, Lord. We just pray that you will give him the words you want us to hear and help us to learn and apply to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, team. Today, this morning, I want to talk to you, and I love to walk, so I can't walk. I'm going to be stuck right here in front of the camera. So I want to talk to you this morning about something that's very important for all of us. And that's the word pray. And today I'm going to speak a little bit on the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to speak on the Lord's Prayer as well as around the Lord's Prayer. I want to speak about what happened just prior to him saying the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to speak on the things that happened just after the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to include in that the Lord's Prayer. So let's all stand together and say the Lord's Prayer together. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Doesn't the Lord's Prayer sound good? I mean, it really is a prayer that we can say, always say. How many of you, just by an outstretched arm, say, I pray this every night before I go to sleep? One? Anybody else? My mother said this prayer every single night. She was raised Catholic, sold on everything Catholic, but every night she said the Lord's Prayer before she went to sleep. Good for you. Oh, I didn't ask that. Who prays it every morning with their coffee? There we are. We got a whole bunch. Tell you something about my mom really quick. This isn't in my notes, but it just came to me. When she was on her deathbed, she called my wife. Well, you all know her as Judy. She called my wife into her bedroom. She didn't call one of her five kids. She called my wife. My wife kneeled down beside the bed beside her, and she said, you know something, Jude? I say the Lord's Prayer every night. And she said, as I go out, wherever I'm going to, I know that God is with me. How about that? I know that God is with me. Is it because she said the Lord's Prayer? I don't think so. I think that she had Jesus in her heart. And she knew where she was going so she could go out in the pain that she was in, but she was going out with prayer. Anyway, about this prayer. This prayer was written twice in the Word. It was written once in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, and it was written once in Luke, okay, after he had just finished praying. So we have two times it was written. They're not identical, per se. All the words are the same, but their circumstances are a bit different. Jesus said, pray therefore like this. So what does this tell us about the Lord's Prayer? That it is a blueprint for all of us to approach God with. It is a blueprint. Do we always have to pray that way? No. But we have a blueprint that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords gave us. He gave it to his disciples first, then it was written down for us. Matthew comes right from the lips of Jesus because we know that Matthew was the disciple who was the tax collector amongst the 12. So it came right from the word that what Jesus spoke, he was there and he remembered those words and put them down on, and I went like this, on his typewriter. No, he put them down on papyrus, just like the scribes would do, and he kept it very, very close. Dr. Luke, of course, came much later because he was with the Apostle Paul on his journeys. And we know that he wrote Luke and he wrote the book of Acts. And Dr. Luke was getting an oral testimony that had been passed on to him through the Apostle Paul. And I would probably guess through the disciples, the apostles at that time. And he wrote what God told him to write by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We don't know how many times Jesus prayed, but we know that he prayed an awful lot. We think of, often you'll think of the last time he prayed, of course, was in the garden, the night before his betrayal. And he prayed so hard there that drops of blood came from his forehead. He sweat drops of blood. He was in prayer. He was in prayer in agony because he knew what lay before him. He knew what lay before him. He knew that there was the cross. He knew that there was going to be hardness of heart in men against him. Well, just before he prayed this prayer, he taught his disciples in Matthew. He was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. And he was talking about things like giving and prayer. It's quite something to hear the words of Christ from the Sermon on the Mount. Just before he taught them the Lord's Prayer, he said this. He said, talking about giving and tithing, he said, "No one really needs to know your acts of righteousness. You don't need to, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But you, when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." And I step out of that thing every time. Sorry. So if we, when we give, we should give with humility and we should give in secret. We shouldn't be pushing it out there like it's something that we're doing because that shows forth to men the unworthiness of our giving, for it's only for us that we're giving. Secondly, in this second chapter of sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus expounds similarly on the prayer in verse 5. He says, "Whenever you pray, do not pray like who? The hypocrites." Hey? "Do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." I'm reminded of when the man was praying on the steps of the synagogue, letting everybody know that he was a man of God because he was praying like this. And then you see the man down at the bottom of the steps bowing. And what is his prayer? "Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord." And so we learn that Christ was teaching about how to give. He was teaching about how to pray. And now he's going to give us the words of his prayer. "Don't babble along," he says. "Don't babble on. When you pray, go into your room, close the door." What do we get from that? What did everybody talk about today? Go into your prayer. Doesn't have to be a closet, folks. Just go into a room, close the door. Now, where does it say you have to be on your knees? It doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. So when you pray that in a way that makes you, first of all, comfortable before the King. If you feel more comfortable bowing down on your knees to pray, that's fine. If you don't mind praying standing up, that also is fine. But God doesn't look at whether you're kneeling or standing. What does he look at?
Heart.
He looks at our heart. And I'll tell you something else. Before one word comes out of your lips, he already knows. Doesn't he? Because he is God. He already knows your need before it happens. He already knows what you're going to ask before you ask. Jesus says, "Don't babble, go in secret." Now, God wants our authenticity. He wants you, as counselors will say today, to be authentic. How can we be authentic today when the world is so crazy? Hey, how can we be authentic today when the world is so crazy? Said the word. Don't follow it. We're going to get into that in just a minute or so. Thank you, Norm. Leads into these things. So really, there's two types of prayer. There is prayer that we pray in secret, and there's prayer that we pray corporately, like we are here today. How many of you have ever prayed in corporate prayer? All of you would say, yes, it's me. When someone is praying up here, whether it be John, whether it be me, whether it be Jim, whether it be Gord, whether it be, what's your name? Oh, Bruce, yeah. Doesn't matter how we when they are praying out loud, we should be in agreement with them. And how can we be in agreement with them? When they say something we know that is true, we should be saying, amen. Amen. Or the vernacular of the 60s, right on. Hey? If we know that what we're praying is true and we corporately agree, so when you hear John pray next Sunday and he says something that's right on, I want you to say that. Right on! And then tell him that I told you to say that. Oh my goodness. Well, we know there's two kinds of prayer, secret, individual, and corporate prayer. Let's just take a couple of minutes now to talk about those he was teaching. His disciples, these 12 men who are going to be with him for 3.5 years. 3.5 years they walked with Christ. They listened to everything he said. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to just walk with Jesus? Just to walk with him and listen. Well, do you think that's really what the disciples wanted to be taught? They asked about it, but here's my thought. Hey, Jesus, teach us that thing about how you heal people. Teach us how to raise the dead. Huh? Teach us to walk on water. Huh? Teach us to feed the hungry. Teach us to lead men. No. They didn't ask for these things because they were living with Christ the Messiah. They were able to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that you're giving to us all that we need, but Lord, teach us to pray. They saw that. God did not want them to bring focus unto themselves. He wanted them to focus on the Father. I would say, so where your heart, where your mouth is, so is your heart, right? If you're speaking out about something, it's in your heart. Well, so your heart is. That's where your heart is going to be. When we focus on prayer like Christ did here, we're going to go directly to the one who can do the things that we cannot do for ourselves. God is our ever help in time of trouble. When our focus on God, is anything impossible? When we focus on God, nothing is impossible. That's why when we sing that song, I always make sure, nothing is impossible. Not nothing is too difficult. Nothing is impossible with you. Well, as we look at this prayer now, for the next few minutes, we can see that the prayer is divided into two parts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. First part of the prayer is said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, personally, I don't think there's anyone who can say, Our Father and hallowed be thy name, without knowing our Father intimately. We can pray that prayer and mouth that prayer. But if you know our Father, you really get an idea of who he is and what he has done for you and for me and for the world. It isn't just this little group of people. He, the Father, hallowed be your name in all the earth. In all the earth, hallowed be thy name. So how do we come to know him intimately as our Father? There are several ways. I'm just going to give you things that I know. First of all, it's going to fall, you watch. That's the first way to come to know him, through his word. Will that save us? It can, if it points us to, secondly, to Christ. So we have the word, we have Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit, all doing their work when we pray. When we pray. For what he has done and what he's going to do. Holy are you, Father. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first and the last. You are the creator. You are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the perfecter of our faith. You are healer. You so loved us that you gave us Jesus. So when we say, Our Father, who art where? In heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. The Jews wouldn't even say his name. We get to say it. And you know what the word says here? It says, Our Father. That word there is the word Abba. Abba. Like he was your own dad. The Jews could not do that. They couldn't do that. But we can. We can call him Abba Father. Paul tells us to do that as well. Abba Father. So when we begin to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We bow. Not, we can bow the knee if we want to. We can stand. We can bow our head. We can even close our eyes. Where did that come from? Even close. You don't have to close your eyes to talk. When I talk to Norm, I talk to Norm with my eyes open. Hey? When I talk to my Father in heaven, I can talk with my eyes open. Do each of you have a secret place where you go to pray? Anywhere is easy, isn't it, Norm?
Even on the toilet.
Okay. I won't pass that. I'll just leave that right where it is. When I was preaching every Sunday on a regular basis, I would drive my car and I would go to the closest cemetery. I would drive in. I would park in the middle of the cemetery. Why did I do that? Because I know that nobody else there was talking. And I would begin to pray. Holy God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for giving him that I might have life eternal. Through him. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who came into my life when I accepted your gift that was given to me freely. I thank you that the Holy Spirit came into me and that he lives in me. He dwells in me forever and ever and ever. Father, I have to speak this week. And I know that I told the people that I was going to speak on the letter to the Ephesians. You impress upon me what I need as I wait upon you in prayer. And I did that week after week after week after week when I went to prayer. Does that make me any holier than any one of you? Not one bit. Because I have to lean on Jesus just like you. Does it make me any better than you? Any taller than you? Anything more significant than you? Not in the least. We are all just men. And I stand here today as one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. That's all I'm doing. Am I great at it? I have no idea. I just know that when I'm asked to speak, I take every opportunity to do so. And the Lord's Prayer is one of the best ways I know of speaking that people can understand. We focus first on God our Father. Focus first on God our Father. Come in reverence, bow before him. With what? Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, come into his presence with thanksgiving in your heart, into his courts with praise. And that's how the Lord starts. Our Father, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, it's always done. His will is always done in heaven all the time. Is it always done here on earth? Until when? Until the second coming. Until he appears in the clouds. And we get changed in that instant. Changed in that instant. So there we are. It's part of having an arsenal, isn't it? It's part of having big guns, if you will. Because in Ephesians, Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. And then he ends that by, in Ephesians, we have that, I think, Phil. In Ephesians, he says what? Ephesians, thank you. There it is. It's amazing how they can do that for me. I don't even know how they do it, but I'm glad they do it. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Well, the full armor of God includes prayer. Without prayer, we really are shortchanging ourselves as believers. As believers. Thank you for that. Okay, so now we've come to finish the first three, the first part of that prayer. The second part I'm going to go over very quickly because it's all about us. It's all about us. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Well, Jesus says right there, he says, okay, forgive us our debts. But he doesn't finish. He keeps on going. As we also forgive our debtors. All of us here, I fold my hands, we probably have somebody we haven't forgiven. Or we're holding a grudge against somebody we haven't forgiven. We fold our hands like that and say, this is it. I'm not forgiving that person. Well, forgive as you are forgiven. I can tell you that my family is very unforgiving. It's an unforgiving family. But I have to. And that is the hardest thing for me to do, is to forgive a brother or a sister. intimate brother or sister. When it comes to you folks, it's easy because I know you forgive me. Amen?
Amen.
And then he says, lead us not into temptation. That doesn't mean that God leads us into a temptation. It means that we're asking that God would keep us moving away from it. Lead us away from it, not into it. Because in James chapter 1, verse 13, we read, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. That's right. What are we doing right there? What I said. When the truth is spoken, you acknowledge it. Amen. So let it be. Hallelujah. I'm glad he is who he is. Jesus is, in this prayer, is making the statement of an attitude. It's all about our attitude, isn't it? If I have a bad attitude, sometimes people can see it. My wife says, I sometimes wear my heart on my sleeve. And it's easy to knock off and get me going. Oh, yes, you better believe it. It's so easy for each of us. I mean, the next temptation is just that far away from us. The next thing that's going to happen is just that far away from us. The Bible talks about those things. Lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and the lust of the flesh. Those are the things that so easily tempt us. Well, put on the whole armor of God today, folks. Memorize the prayer, yes, but pray without ceasing. And in the end, when you've put on the full armor of God and you're praying in the Spirit, then you know that you are speaking from your heart and God is hearing from your heart. And in the end, we'll be standing. Standing. Thank you. Come, team. We're going to sing Standing on the Promises of God. Elder Jim, close us in prayer, please.
Approach your throne of grace because you are our Father and you love us, you care for us. We ask you this in